about noon, the apostle of our diocese, the bishop, will stand right there and he will call down the Holy Spirit upon 18 of the young men and women from this parish. He will call down upon them the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, and they will become, having received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, witnesses to Christ and to his gospel. In baptism, something was transformed in them. They became no longer orphans, but they became adopted sons and daughters of God the Father. And now in confirmation, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they are sent out to give witness to God and to serve him in his gospel with the strength that comes from God. They're to do as St. Paul says, to bear their share of hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God. It's like, congratulations, you were all just confirmed. Now get to work. Because it's something much deeper that's going on there. And St. Paul points to it. He's writing in this letter to Timothy. Timothy is his best friend. And this is one of the last letters that he's writing. And this is the letter in which St. Paul, at the very end of his life, and he's imprisoned, and he knows, he has the clear sense that this is it. This is where he's going to be asked to give his life for God. And so he's writing this last letter to Timothy. And in this letter, he uses these athletic metaphors. He speaks of how an athlete in a stadium, they'll sacrifice much for a perishable crown, but we do so for an imperishable one. He says that I have run the race now, I have kept the faith. And so when we hear him say to Timothy to pray that you might bear your share of hardship for the gospel, what is he saying in that? That to think of it like an athlete who is injured, an athlete who is injured and he's watching from the sidelines his team as they compete, as they're out together spilling their blood with one another, and he's sitting injured on the sidelines. What's that athlete, that injured athlete's great desire? What does he want to do as he looks out and sees his teammates in battle? He wants to be out with them. He wants to be out battling shoulder to shoulder with them, bearing his share of the hardship, carrying his weight, doing his part, battling with them. And what's more, to enter into that and to not have his heart hardened in the midst of the battle, that he's carrying the load and that the other ones are not, and that he's somehow alone in it. That's what hardens a heart. It makes it bitter. But to be able to enter into that battle, to be bearing that hardship, and to do it with the joy of the gospel. In these last weeks, this last month, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been laying out for his apostles what it looks like to follow him and to bear their share of hardship for the gospel. He speaks of the good shepherd who seeks out the lost sheep, the father who waits for the return of the prodigal son, the master who forgives so many this massive debt, poor Lazarus begging for just a crumb from the table. And right before this, we don't hear it, but Jesus says to his apostles that to serve him, to give true witness to them, they are to forgive 7 times. The number isn't as important as what 7 signifies. They're to give, forgive entirely. Entirely. And so you can understand when he's laying this out for them, that this is what they are to become because this is who God is. And this is the way in which they're to live and to seek after the lost and to forgive and to be poor. And they turn to him and they say, Lord, increase our faith. This task that you've set before us, it ain't possible. It's way beyond our strength. So Lord, please increase our faith. And Jesus says to them, if you had even faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be planted in the ocean. But he's implying to them, if you had even that little bit of faith, but on your own, you don't even have that little bit. He's helping to see them. He's helping them to see. You are asked in following me to be like me and to enter into an utter and total poverty. Like Lazarus the beggar, begging but for a crumb to fall from the table. But he promises them, God is a good God, and he will be with you, and he will provide for you, and you are not orphans. And this, everyone, is where the great battle enters in. Because he makes this promise to them that he will be with them, the Lord will be with them, and that he will provide for them in their poverty. He desires to provide for them. But the great battle is that the evil one wants to stir into flame the fears within our hearts and to stir into flame the lies, doing the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Because if God is making this promise, I will provide for you and I will be with you, what is the evil one saying in the midst of the battle? To you who in your lives have been asked to bear a great hardship, and even throughout your life, if you pile up all the hardships, all the sufferings that you're asked to unite to Jesus' suffering, all those hardships, the evil one, as you're trying to bear those and be a good Christian, what's he whispering to you? He's saying, look at all those times. All those hardships that God put upon your shoulders, you're bearing them alone. You're isolated in the midst of them. Look, all these hardships in this Christian life, you have to just take care of yourself. Because where is God? It's the crying out of Habakkuk. Where are you, God? When will you intervene? Am I really out here alone? And what does that do to the heart? As the evil one's stirring up these lies, as he's stirring up these fears within you in the midst of the battle, and you get this sense that you're isolated and you're alone, what does that do to the human heart? It hardens it. It hardens it where it is not alive and it's not on fire, but hardened both against God and against your fellow neighbor who isn't helping you out either. You're alone. But God, that's not who he is. And he made the promise, I will not leave you orphans. You are not orphans. But instead, he promises he will send his Holy Spirit and that he will be with us and present to us, truly present, and he will nourish our faith that he provides for us. And so in this parable that Jesus gives, in this long string of parables, the one that we land on today, what is he saying? What is he saying that he'll do? What's he describing here? Who is the servant? Jesus, he's pointing to this. He's pointing ahead to the Last Supper. Because who is the servant? coming in from tending the sheep and plowing the hard soil out in the field so that the seeds might fall in and take root, having come in from that, what does he do and provide for his servants, for those who are being asked to follow him and to fight with him? He puts an apron around his waist. He serves them food. He washes their feet. He is showing that this is who their God is. And this is how outrageous it is. Like the good shepherd who leaves the 99 to chase after the one. The father who waits for that son who's squandered everything to return. The debt that's forgiven that's so massive. He is the one who provides for them, and he feeds them, and he nourishes their faith, that they might as well, with him, having received the Holy Spirit in the very first confirmation, bear their share of hardship for the gospel and to take it on willingly, because they're not in that battlefield alone. God isn't just at the sidelines saying, all right, Christian, go out, try harder, keep going, come on. No, God's not sitting at the sidelines yelling at us, cheering us on. He's there with us in the midst of the battle, shoulder to shoulder. He's bleeding with us. This is who our God is, and this is what he's showing his apostles who he is. So that when they enter into the battle of the faith, they're able to do so knowing that God is with them and he is providing for them, especially in their poverty. That they might be able to serve with joy because it's Jesus they're serving with. And that they might be able to give witness to Christ, bearing their share of the hardship of the gospel with the very strength that comes from God himself, with him and his real presence in our midst.